rights. First, hey Mike, you should repent first. Mike Hong's at home watching the football game, so I just want to say hi to Mike. When the team was bad, we didn't have to worry about Sundays, you know. But now we have to like be mindful when to have the congregational meeting, make sure it doesn't fall on a playoff, championship, and the Super Bowl. Okay, so we got to think a little extra. Anyway, thank you for being here. It is so weird. You remove one set of furniture and it feels different. Remove the pews and as Noel says, it feels like the first day of school. But more than anything, I pray that the Lord will minister to you. I'm not going to talk a really long time. We do have some other things that we need to attend to, like the congregational meeting. We don't want to feel rushed. Lord, we ask that you would be with us. Lord, of course, you enjoy the fun things of life. You enjoy when your people enjoy you and one another, and whether we gather for food or festivities, birthday parties, or even a football game. Lord, you made life to be full of fun and joy among your people. And so, Lord, we thank you. But nevertheless, Lord, even good things can be distracting. And so we pray, Lord, that you would have our undivided attention today. At the end of all, Lord, end of it all, a game or team really is immaterial, Lord. But our walks with you is the opposite. It's full of significance and meaning. And so we ask that you would be with us and grab our attention in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've been praying for our church in preparation for the retreat, the theme about heart training keeps on coming up. And today's message will speak to some of you directly, okay? Some of you directly, and the rest of you, I pray that it will be a reminder. This is one of these messages where if you're not paying attention and involved, it's time wasted. Okay, so I'm just asking you to just pay attention for the next 5 minutes and start tracking, okay? I often wonder, like different factors involved in why people grow, certain people grow, and why certain people do not grow, no matter how often they go to church. And the answer, not the answer, but one set of answer has to do with our heart, has to do with our attitude and the quality of our relationship with Jesus. So the hungry keeps on getting fed, and those who are not hungry stop getting fed. Not that God withholds food, but they just don't feed themselves. And I believe the silent spiritual killer is passivity. I want to talk about that. Being passive. Or spiritually lazy, or spiritually unengaged. Spiritually unengaged. I'm going to read a passage that talks about idleness, disorder, but I want to get to the root of what's going on in this particular passage. It's 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and to 15. So let me read this passage first. And again, I just ask everyone to be engaged. There is something called active listening. You know, and active listening is listening with attention, concentrations, paying attention. And so that's what I ask you, all of us. So Paul writes, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. I mean, there's a note often in Paul's address to the church. What we would consider sort of severity. Don't associate with them. Let the devil sift through them. I mean, most of the churches in America, most of the world, will not follow sort of Paul's recommendation. It seems too harsh. Okay. But the reason why he's doing it, saying these things, because for Paul, walking with Jesus is of such great importance that your walk should be safeguarded. And that's why when you associate with people who are idlers, disruptive, that may rub off on you. You may be distracted. And so that's why he comes off kind of harsh. And so in the early church, like any church, it's made up of broken human beings, sinful human beings, disorderly human beings. There's never been a perfect church. Whenever you have human beings gathered together, you're going to have brokenness, disagreements, arguments, personal issues, corporate issues, relational issues, emotional issues, etc., etc. Nevertheless, God is at work. Nevertheless, God is sanctifying people, transforming people. Nevertheless, Jesus advances his cause. That's the big news. And so as I've been praying, I've sent some of you, of course, I'm not going to embarrass you by name. You know the Lord, but you're not engaged. You're just not engaged to the level of your knowledge of Jesus. You're just not as engaged. And so as a brother, as a pastor, I beseech you, I ask you to be engaged. And the opposite of engagement I call passivity, being passive. And as I was praying and thinking about it, passivity is the easiest thing in the world. Because it's, one, easy. It's easy to be fed than to make your own food. It's easy to just hop on a bus or a train and let somebody else drive. When we are passive, it's easy. I think that's one ingredient. If it was hard, none of us would be passive. But one, it's easy. Feed me, clothe me. Well, being a baby is easy. You just eat, poop, and sleep. That's your major work. Easy. And I think the second thing that keeps people passive, along with being easy, Christian people think it's okay. There's a sense of everything's fine. Life is good. God loves me. I'm doing okay. My family's doing okay. Why put in extra work? Why pray? Why read the Bible? Why engage? Why intercede? Why pray for my loved ones? Why bother? Life is good. I go to a good church. Sermons are decent. Worship is good. Why more? And because of the second thing, that everything seems fine, there's a lack of motivation to engage. Okay? But when we really examine what's going on, it is rather scary. what you lose in your passivity. And I want to make sure we understand that. There's a cost to passivity. There's a cost to everything. You know, like, if you're on Strava, you'll see that I've been going to the Y every single day, even this morning. Although I forgot to turn off my weight training thing. I only train like 20 minutes, but I forgot I went to Balducci to pick up food. Then I look, I go, 48 minutes of weight training. I better stop this. But I'm going to just save it as, you know. People are thinking, wow, he's really working out. But today, other days, you know, I'm okay. But like today, I went 40 minutes of indoor cycling. I like numbers too, so I stopped at 40 minutes and 4 seconds. Okay, kind of symmetry. Did about 25 minutes of weights. I've been doing that every day. It's so efficient. I spent about an hour, hour and a half every day at the Y with my old people. There's so many people. Like, why aren't they giving up on their New Year's resolution? Why are they still here? Like, hello? But there, something happened. They're like busy working. And so even just staying healthy takes work. And if you're passive, there's a health consequence. If I just eat and stay at home and watch TV, I'm passive in that situation. There is damage done to my body in my passivity. Lack of exercise, lack of good eating, there's a cost. But typically we don't think that way spiritually. We may think of it physically, oh, you don't exercise at all. You're not careful with what you eat. You just sleep whenever. You don't brush your teeth. Like, that's going to be bad for you. We immediately know that passivity in the area of health will do damage, but rarely do we think of the damage spiritually speaking. There is a cost. And I'm going to mention three costs. The greatest damage of passivity is that you will end up, every single person, with less passion for Jesus. Your love will grow cold. Because our relationship with God is a love relationship. It's like being a passive husband. You don't think about your wife. You don't think about how she's doing. You don't help her. You're just kind of spoiled and lazy. And you say, hey, feed me. The love for your wife will grow cold. That's how we are designed. So our first major cost of our passivity is that over time you will lose passion. You will lose passion. And that is by nature. Any love relationship, any friendship needs to be nurtured. There is no relationship in the world that is just instantaneously set for life. Like one day, like the day that Jonna was born, that didn't set me up for the rest of my life. It didn't, even though that was awesome. Right? But it's this constant connection and talking and doings together. And so our passivity with respect to God, the first big cause is lack of passion. And that has reverberation. That has a cascading of effect. You lose passion for God, then you don't want to spend time with God. Things like prayer, it seems like a waste of time. You just lose motivation. And then a lot of people wonder, like, I don't know what happened. As though it's a mystery. And I'm thinking, there's like zero mystery here. You've been passive. You lost your passion. Now you don't feel motivated. That's called normal progression. That's just normal. Devil's not at work. Even if the devil is totally absent, you have allowed yourself to become passionless because you've been passive. That's the greatest cost. You fall out of love. You fall out of love with Jesus, of God. think that's one of the reasons why people are walking away from the church. They have no passion. They have no motivating factor to keep them going and loving God and worshiping and serving. Why bother with all that when you don't have love? But it started with passivity. No well-meaning Christian will say, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to start my journey of indifference towards God. What's your resolution this year? Oh, indifference. I'm going to work on my indifference. Excuse me? Yeah. I just want to work on it so my heart gets really cold and numb and I don't care. Like, no one actually thinks that way. Intentionally, but unintentionally, they do all the time by being passive. The second cost is powerlessness. You lose your passion, you will lose power. Spiritual power. And it starts with the power of love. It's not separate categories in the Bible. The divine power is manifest through love. It's the love. Okay, that grounds all the powerful activity of God. So once you lose passion, you lose the central power. Passion and love are the same thing. You lose love, and that love is relational, and even the power for prayer and change goes away, because once love is gone, you are not connected with God. You're just not connected. Soul, spirit, heart, you're just not connected. As you should be. So you lack spiritual power. Power in the Holy Spirit. So whether you are overwhelmed emotionally, relationally, spiritually, now you are in a worse condition. If you love the Lord and you're passionate, when there's challenges, you just kick into prayer, you kick into worship, you call people and say, I'm going to declare who God is. You would do that naturally. But once the passion is gone and you're overwhelmed, you get squashed. You get squashed. And then in that situation, some people wonder, where is God? That becomes a mystery. Where is God? Have you been in touch with the Lord? Where is God? Don't blame God. He's with you. You've just let your heart go cold, and now you're not engaged. You're not engaging the heart of God. You've lost power. You've lost power. Holy Spirit power comes through intimacy with Jesus. It's not power, you know, like batteries that you carry, like a Tesla. You know, that's not where the power is. All spiritual power for the Christian is relational. When I am weak, I am strong because of my dependence on Him. Every time we lean into Jesus, we become powerful. But passivity disconnects us. Okay? The third consequence is that we lose our purpose. There's a reason why these folks are disorderly. They lack order. They're busy, but they're busybodies. They don't know how to channel their energy. And just like a little kid, like, would you stop destroying the home? Like, channel that energy and build me a new basement. You know, I don't know. You know, like, do something constructive. All of us have energies. All of us have things we want to do. And if it's not ordered, it will be disorder. Or it will be spent in lots of small things, but not the great thing. Right? We'll do a lot of little things that may be fun, but it's not really focused. It lacks purpose. There's no purposefulness to your life. And that is so completely opposite of the biblical view, of Paul's view. Totally about Jesus. Totally about God. But that passivity disengages us, and our lives become scattered. Man, we just go after things, left and right. whatever that comes up. And all that energy, all that activity is like just, you know, being in the water and you're just, what do they call it? You don't swim and you tread. You're not going anywhere. You're just kind of treading. And that's a great picture of a lot of Christians. They do a lot of activities, but it's not really ordered. They don't know their calling. They don't know their purpose. They don't know what God is doing. They don't know how God is challenging them to grow. They don't know what's happening in their own families. They don't know what's happening in their marriage. Everything is just kind of bits and pieces, and it's all scattered. Why? Because you are living a life lacking direct a purpose, a focused purpose. So those are just three. I mean, those aren't the only three, but those are the big three. And so being passive spiritually comes with a cost. And if we see it clearly, we want to say, oh my God. And if what I'm saying is making sense to you, today is a day of hope. You could put brakes on it. I go, I'm going to stop. Wait a minute. So how do we address this? Well, I'm praying that this message is a way of addressing it. You need to review your life. Review, literally, like, again, look at it. Review. View your life again. Like, ask yourself, well, where am I? Like, how am I walking with the Lord? Now, if the answer is, oh, Lord, I am engaged, then this message is an encouragement. You're on the right path. I got passion. I got power. I got purpose. Thank you, Jesus. So if you've been opposite of passive, and that is engaged, you are on the right track. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're working it out. And there's information. There's wisdom. There's knowledge. There is the lack of wasting time. You are really investing your time wisely. You're prayerfully making decisions. There's like a directedness to your life. Okay? But if you're not in that camp, then this is the time to view your life again, review. Like, okay, hey. And I'm offering a spiritual perspective, theological perspective. I know what drives you. As I've been praying for 2025, as I mentioned, I got the new wine. But one of the things I sense from the Lord is that the culture will go in the opposite direction. What God wants you to seek will be opposite of the trends, the currents. And the current is this: security, comfort, abundance, provision. It's going to be worldly, because when things are topsy-turvy, you're going to seek sort of things that are more tangible and concrete. Job security, financial security, comfort, some enjoyment. You will not go to God. You will grab on to those things. So that's one of the things I've been getting as I'm praying for, you know, 2025. But the Lord said, but if my people, the people of the rock, go in my direction, be counterculture, then they will be blessed. But if they're not aware, they will go, they will flow with the culture. And you need to know where the flow is. You need to know where your heart is. And as parents, if your dream for your kids is comfort and financial stability, security, that's an idol. That's wrong. That's wrong. Pray for your kids to be lovers of God. Not to seek financial security and a comfortable life. Don't make your lifestyle a false god. Don't make your lifestyle an idol. And tell your kids in so many words, hey, son, daughter, you enjoy the life that we have here in America? You want that? Then you got to study hard. Don't talk that way. say, son and daughter, you know what's really important? God. Do you know who you are? Do you know your calling? You don't, but let's pray together. God has made you for a special purpose. And in the end, it doesn't matter what school you go to. In the end, it really doesn't matter. So you got to shape your family attitude in that way. Okay? But if you don't, you're going to just go with the culture that seeks comfort, security, status. You just flow with it. And your kids will pick it up because they're already tilted that way. They're already made that way when they go to Walter Johnson or Wooten or Churchill, Whitman, whatever high school your kids get into or middle school. There's a certain flow. If that flow isn't God's flow, then it's in the wrong direction. Okay? And so the word I got for the church is, hey, God has something really good, new wine. Breakthrough, great things, but you need to go with me. You need to engage my heart. You need to seek me. Okay, that's what the Lord is saying. Okay. So you need to review. Now, if what I'm saying is convicting you in any way, even 5%, then the next step is to repent. Review, then you repent. I love the root word in the Greek for repentance, metanoia. Literally changing your mind. Meta is changed, noia is mind. The root of metanoia is like the what happens in the prodigal son story. The younger son says, you know, life at home, even as a slave, is better than my life here. I changed my mind. My way is not, it's a dead end. Okay? So even if you're self-centered, you're like, okay, I don't want to live this way. I'm going to change my mind. And so in changing, you say, Lord, sorry. And I'm actually sorry for myself, Lord, because I'm wasting my life. But you deserve glory, but I'm not giving it to you. You save me, but I'm using it for myself. You redeem me, but I'm just worldly. I'm just being self-centered. So, Lord, I confess, I repent. Okay? So I ask you to repent, not just today, but like sincerely when you get home. There is a power to sincere repentance, not a lip service repentance. And if my message today is speaking to you at all, take some time, even later today or tomorrow, and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to see how I'm living. I want to live wisely. I want to live unto you. Forgive me for my passivity. Forgive me for not loving you well. All of this, what I'm saying, is going back to the fundamental commandments of the Bible, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. But the hidden promise behind that, if you do, your life will be blessed. That's not spelled out, but that's what it means. So repent. Okay, repent. The last thing is I need retraining. Okay, and I just pull out a simple analogy. Like, how do you retrain your body physically? Can you fix it in one day? Do you Google? Is there a magic pill? I hate exercise. Is there a pill I can just take and then, boom, I'm fully healthy? Some quick help, promise, that kind of stuff, but you know. How do you retrain your body? Well, you get on a program. And if you don't have discipline, you get a trainer. I'm an advertisement for the Y. You don't have to pay extra for the trainer. There's people in blue walking around, and not that I judge people. I'm thinking, like, you're a trainer? But anyway, you know, but they're all kinds. That's okay. Okay. And so if you have a hard time, get an accountability partner. Say, hey, I want to be a person of prayer. Can you encourage me? Can you just remind me? I give you permission to ask me, how was your walk with God this week? Okay? Get into a program. Husband and wives, do that. Say, hey, besides talking about, can we just once in a while say, hey, how are you doing spiritually? Do that with your kids. Suzanne does that with John and Serena. Hi, Serena. First thing, we just pray that Serena picks up the phone. Hello? That's all. Hello? And Suzanne would say, are you reading your Bible? Yes. What are you reading? Psalms. That's always the same. Psalms. Serena, are you connecting with Jesus? Yes. Yeah. But I'm just happy that there's some conversation, okay? Are you going to church? Well, I've been busy. Serena, you should go to church. Okay. I'm just glad that Suzanne asked that. Because if she doesn't ask that, nobody else will. And our children's walk with the Lord doesn't all of a sudden collapse in one day. It slowly collapses over a period of time when parents are not mindful. They're not prayerful. They don't talk to their kids about walking with God. How are they going to know walking with God is important if you don't talk about it? Well, I feel uncomfortable. Who cares? Say, hey, what's important to mommy and daddy is your relationship with God. How are you doing? Okay. If relationship with God is important, you just say it. I'm just worried. I'm just concerned. How are you doing? At least they know that this is important. Of course, they get to choose, but they need to hear that. Okay? So retraining, don't make it so complicated. Look at your schedule. Don't make it so spiritual. Oh, I'm going to fast and pray. Forget about those things. Fast and pray and all this. Forget about it. Like, look at your weekly schedule and say, do you have time spent with God? If you don't, put it in there. Make a little schedule in the morning with my coffee, on my drive. Are you spending time in God's Word? If not, like, put it in there. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Put it in there. And then when you're doing it, because it's relational, be all there. Don't be looking at YouTube. Don't be distracted. Don't give Jesus just lip service. You're just fooling yourself. Be all there. So that retraining of the heart takes some time. But just like any relationship, if you are sincere and you put in the time, guess what? Something magical happens. It's not the word magical. Something spiritual happens. Your heart will begin to change. There is a return on investment. Always. You draw near to him, and James, he will draw near to you. You seek him, you will find him. You love him, and you will be loved in return. In truth, he loves us first, of course. So we need help. Again, I know this message is speaking to some of you more directly, others of you in a more indirect way. But I think that this is a message that everyone is getting something, okay? It's not a complicated message. Okay? So let me pray. So, Father, we come before you. First, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we are in this space today. We thank you that we are physically together in this space. And I thank you for everyone who's here. Everyone who got dressed this morning, ate their breakfast, brushed their teeth, took a shower, made time for you today here. And these activities, Lord, they're not small, they're big. They're big. And I ask that you would meet us, Lord. You would meet us where things really matter, and that is in our relationship with you. And so, Father, for some of us who've been passive, living a life of passivity, it could be a month, it could be 2 months, it could be 3 years, however long. Lord, if this is the case, we repent. Father, we repent. We are sorry for not loving you well. We are sorry for not engaging with you as you deserve, but really as we, as sons and daughters, deserve, Lord. We recognize, God, that our passivity is costing us. It's costing us love. It's costing us passion. It's costing us power. Emotional power, relational power, spiritual power, even circumstantial power, because we're not praying, Lord, for circumstances. We are losing, and we're tired of losing, Lord. And we are also losing our purpose. Life is created by you, Lord. And for sons and daughters of you, Lord, our lives count for all eternity. And when we see you, Lord, we will hear one version of, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." But that "well done" has to do with how we lived. Full of purpose and intention. So, Father, move in our hearts to bring us to that state of awareness to seek your heart. To engage you. We want to do the opposite of something that's passive, and that is active, proactive, engaged. So, Father, retrain us, Lord. We know you have a good plan. So devise a good plan for us in a practical way, whether it's friendship, accountability partners, texting, asking one another, how are you doing with Jesus? How are you doing with God? How's your prayer life? How's your love life? How's your word life? How's your evangelism life? How is your intercessory life? How is your worship life? How's your sanctification life? How's your joy life? Lord, just different questions about how we're doing. Help us to break through the discomfort, perhaps, Lord, to talk about such things, especially in the home. So I ask for boldness, courage, and humility for parents to talk even now, Lord, even though they haven't really talked about hope. Moms and dads, even today, to say, my son, my daughter, Jesus, God is important. Are you growing in God? What? You're not even going to church? Son, daughter, you should find a church. Maybe you could come with me. Maybe we could just, if you can't find a church, maybe we could just pray over the phone twice a week. Let's just spend some time, 10 minutes, just pray over the phone. Father, we thank you that you are in the resuscitation, refreshing, renewing, redeeming business. All of these things that have been brought up this afternoon, Lord, are every single item is something that you're expert at. You are good at turning hearts. You're good at redemption. You're great with forgiveness. And you are awesome with restarts, new start, resetting. You're so good. You never get tired of your sons and daughters repenting, coming back and saying, I want to start again. You never, never get tired of that. And so we want to do that today. And for those who have been engaged, I pray, Lord, for wind, Holy Spirit, wind right now of encouragement. Empower them. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, send the wind of the Holy Spirit in their sails, that you would allow them to go through the turbulence of these days. And especially for the federal workers, Lord, I speak shalom to your soul and spirit. It's God who is above. Speak peace. And for everybody else, I speak God's good purpose. You and I sense that something good's going to happen in 2025. Something good, but that good, that something good will be had, received, as long as we flow with God. If we go in the opposite direction, we're just not going to get it. But if we walk with God, flow with God, run with God, we're going to get it. That's what's promised. The promise of God. It's full of joy, full of new wine and new wineskins, new anointings, new powers, new callings, new gifts, new joy, new intimacy, Lord. May 2025 be a breakthrough year, a transitional year. But in order for us to get there, we need to be there. We need to be there. We need to be engaged. So I silence the voice of the mind and the voice of the enemy of spiritual idleness, spiritual laziness, spiritual passivity. I silence that voice and that I break that habit in Jesus' name. Right now, I break that stronghold in Jesus' name. The same old, comfortable life without Jesus, I break that stronghold in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break it right now. I break that stronghold in Jesus' name. I remove the spiritual dullness in Jesus' name from every home. In Jesus' name, I cast that out. And I ask you, Father, to send the fresh, cool wind of your awakening Holy Spirit. There'll be a sharpness, a refreshing, like a tonic, like cold water to one's face. There's an awakening, a desire to love you afresh, with vigor, with energy, with passion. So we invite the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our homes, in our houses, in our apartments, in our cars. The glory that's due you is all of us being fully alive. So we want to be alive today. Holy Spirit, you never get tired, so thank you. Jesus, today you are not discouraged one bit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Like, no drop of discouragement. Father, you are the God of hope. And so today we bank on your hope. We bank on your goodness. So every single person will leave this place with more hope, more confidence than they came in. Refresh us in Jesus' name. Refresh us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.